Hallelujah. Last Sunday before, this is your last opportunity to write that $100,000 check and get credit for, what are you laughing about? And get credit for it in 2017. Hallelujah. We appreciate your giving and the giving of all those out there. If you've been around here very long, you know and understand that by Him, not because we're advertising ourselves, we're all about people. First and foremost, it's not what you can give, but what you can grow in Him, and how you can grow in Him, and how that we can be partners together in something very special. I believe it's very special what we're doing through Him. We're not just a church, but we're a training center, getting us ready for the advancement of the kingdom of God and for the revival. So it's when we tease and we say you have the opportunity, it is a good opportunity, and it's a good opportunity for you out there for giving, and we appreciate it so much. We are really, by His grace, all about people. I remember years ago, he'll never hear it, and if he does, I hope he's listening, but I've never really seen him again. There was a certain person who visited one time, and I think maybe, I don't know if you ever visited before, and he was after something, and he wrote a really nice check that day. But he was after something more than the church service. He was after me. He wanted me. There was some other people coming here, and he visited here because he was following them, and he wanted me to get on to those people. Side journey, don't call me and ask me to get on to anybody. I won't talk to anybody for you. I won't whip anybody for you. I won't use my authority for nothing other than preaching the Word of God. But he was trying to get, you know, and a lot of times when I come out of the Spirit, I'm pretty drunk in a good way. And so I had to be alone. And he wrote a really nice check that day, and I didn't know it. And he wanted to see me. Well, some of my elders were like, you know, not today, under this, you know, they were nice, but not right now. Well, he called, I didn't know, he called back, you know, later in the week and talked to the secretary we had then, and man, he was railing. I wrote a really, you know, good check, and I wanted to see the pastor, and so I said, okay, well, I'll give him a call. And I knew what I was going to do to start with, because most people, they have a secular mentality, even people in the church, like if you give, then you get. We don't give to get around here. We give because of the kingdom of God and our love for Jesus Christ. A gift, Dave used to say, a gift just leaves you. Once you give it, you make no requirements to anyone that you gave it to. It's no longer yours. And so I would have been trained that way, and so I called him back, and I explained to him in a loving way, and he was glad to hear from me that I had no control over these people. I didn't even really know them that well myself, or wasn't associated with them that much, and so that kind of diffused that. And then I politely asked him his address, and he thought I was going to send him a mail out or something, I guess. Well, the check had already went through our bank account and everything. I mean, we needed it too. And so I wrote him a check out of our bank account for that same amount and sent it back to him, and wrote a nice letter saying, people are far more important to us than money. I don't want you to ever think when you come here that you have to give to get from us. What we offer is free. And I can't say that I'm dead enough that in the back of my mind I wasn't hoping that he wouldn't get convicted and send the check back and maybe even feel real convicted and double it. But I never saw that money again. He was glad to get it back. So anyway, so short of the matter is that, consider, would you pray with me this morning? And Father, we thank you for the opportunity, for those that are listening and for those that are here, for an opportunity to give, for the kingdom of God come, thy will be done. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak. The dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, and thousands and tens of thousands even are born again in this outpouring. Father, we love you. We commit these moments to you. We ask you now to speak to their hearts and to our extended family out there, Father, in Jesus' name, that you will speak to their hearts, that perhaps some of them will even go to PayPal today and send something wonderful. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Marty, we're going to check you one more time to see what you're... Hallelujah, you're doing good. Let's all stand. If you have something this morning, bring it forward. And then you can say hi, maybe to somebody, in a congenial manner. And then just find a place. Bless you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the provision for them first. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then to the congregation, Father, and to us corporately as a church and to the needs of the church, we thank you for it. We bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. You out there said amen too. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome everyone. Last day of the year, and Happy New Year. Thank you. I know it's one few hours in front of us. I understand that, but it's basically here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to agree with me. Father, I worship you. Father, if there's anything that I do understand, and yet maybe not fully understand, but coming more to an understanding, is that I can do nothing without you. All that I am and all that I hope to be and all that I ever will be is through your grace, through your strength, through the power of your spirit in me. I lean upon you. I lie upon your breast. I pray that in Jesus' name that your great grace will rest upon us in this morning, this moment, in the name of Jesus, that those out there, our family, will be ministered to. And in here as well, that you'll prepare our hearts for this service, for this new year, and everything that we are going to receive for the grace and by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. We don't always title, but we do have titled more this year than before. But this morning, as the Holy Spirit was just over the last several days, just giving me several things to present to you this morning. I also have a title so it can be coined in your thoughts and you can look it back up in the future. And the title of the message is Redeeming the Time, the New Year's Message. Now, I will say this, I even have a footnote here with an asterisk beside of it to myself, is that I must read this and not rabbit trail, at least not more than what I hear, because sometimes he'll want me to say something concerning what I've written down. But what I've written down, I believe, has been from the Holy Spirit. And so there's so much here, and there's so much here to be digested that if I don't just read it, we'll be here all day. And I know you don't want to be here all day, except the Holy Spirit move. Let me step out here and say something, too, for announcement purposes. Tonight, we'll be here at 8 o'clock. It'll be our watch night service. Now, here's how we're going to do it. You say 8 to 12, that's a lot. What we're really going to do is we're going to start at 8 and have fellowship, asking any of the ladies and guys, if you can, that and we'll bring something for, like, dessert, maybe, okay? We're going to fellowship for maybe an hour, and those listening, if you want to tune in around 9 o'clock, we're going to have a service, kind of a regular service with communion. And my wife's hearing that for the first time. She just had to prepare. But we'll have communion. We're probably not going to go to midnight, but really what I found out, like what you know, is there's really nothing typically magical about midnight, except that you're tired the next morning, okay? And so so we'll have service, and then you'll be able to, now if anybody really wanted to, and you can find an elder to stay and lock up for you, you can pray all night, but that's up to you. But hallelujah, that's just how we're going to handle tonight. Praise the Lord. So let's get started, and I would just really encourage you know, to take notes if you can this morning. Maybe you're not prepared for that. Take notes on your iPad, your smart device, whatever. I did a service about 5, 6, 7 years ago in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I think it's Fayetteville. I think that's the where the college is at. And it was amazing to me. It was a church, and it was a church much larger than ours, quite a bit larger than ours. And all of the people were seated at tables. And because it's a University of Arkansas, and they're just right off campus, it's very college-minded and university-minded. And it was great. It was a really new experience for me because everybody had their laptops out, and they were taking notes, looking up references, and taking notes the whole time that I was there. It was really a pretty neat situation. So we're not offended if you're looking at your smart device, as long as you're not texting somebody. Hallelujah. Unless it's Jesus, and I don't know that he's, you know, he's listening. He's taking notes. Well, no, he gave them to me. Okay, so hallelujah. So as we begin, let me say this. Our objective is still the same. It's revival. After 20 years, 20 plus years, it's still revival. It's still the kingdom of God come / kingdom of God come, revival, however you want to say it. Both are synonymous. And I think that really for all of us, I'm not talking about me, for all of us, I'd say kudos to us and blessings from above, because we have not changed our battle cry in 20 years. Hallelujah. Once we figured out where we were going, that was it. And so we haven't done this, that, and the other. It's seemed to, you know, been difficult and hurt us at times. But a new year is here. 2018 is just hours away. Hallelujah. So our maxim has always been revival. It's always been the blind see the. I mean, going back, we had a couple of years. We always say it like this: there was the before Dave years, and they were short, and then there's the after. Well, nobody, and thank God, not even you, concerning myself, we don't hold each other accountable for the before Dave years, because there was a lot of stupid stuff said, okay? And not that he's the Holy Ghost, but he taught us how to get really in touch with the Holy Ghost and get into the meditation of the Word, keep everything in context, and do a lot of things that we have just practiced throughout the year. So our maxim has always been, going forward into revival. Hallelujah. Now this morning, you know, I'm not doing a PowerPoint presentation, and I've never been one really to do PowerPoints, but this is going to remind you of PowerPoints, because it's going to be just a lot of different points. And I believe, and I'll tell you this, I've tried to give each one of them a backup by the Word of God. If I'd have just said them, if you're versed in the Word, you would have known that there was probably, and there's a lot of scriptures that could have backed them up, but I'm trying to give at least one scripture per maxim or PowerPoint, or however you want to say it, to exemplify what I believe the Holy Spirit was saying to me concerning what He wants to say to you. And as always, this is not exhaustive, and as always, as I said like this, as always, it's more important to hear what He is saying to you about what I'm saying than even what I'm saying, okay? If you keep it in context. Now, like if you just take the Word and do whatever. Now, this morning, if you're doing something else in your mind, it doesn't really, you know, it's like you'll catch up. I'll say something, and, what did he say? That might sound. But if you'll follow along, the Holy Spirit will begin to talk to you. Hallelujah. That's why Dave used to say, when he would say, if a person says, I've only got 7 hours a week that I can give to prayer. And he'd say, people will ask, should I give 7 one-hour days, or should I give the whole 7 hours in one day? And Dave would say, you know, some people would think, well, I'll just spread it out and that'll kind of, every day I'll have. Dave would say, that is an easy answer. Easy answer. He says, do all 7 hours at the same time. The reason being, the longer you pray, the quieter you get. That's why, And I applaud you. I really do. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. But when people stay up half the night sometimes, or they're watching late night TV, or they're just crawling out of bed, you know, or they're doing whatever they do just before they get here, just the natural semantics of mental abilities to hone in on what is saying, it'll take sometime into the second hour before your mind ever cues in to what is being said. That's why what we're trying to do is to get a bunch of you to help us get here early, start out early in the mornings on Sundays, praying in tongues, worshiping, come in here all fired up, not having to get fired up, but come in like I'm fired up right now. Hallelujah. That's what will initiate revival, being ready before the doors ever open. Hallelujah. Well, that's not me this morning, Pastor. Thank God you're here. Hallelujah. I appreciate you being here. Amen. What we're going to say this morning, there are going to be several paradoxical statements. Paradoxical meaning that seems to contradict. Contradiction. That's a contradiction, or seem to contradict what you said there, or what that truth. And there are multiple things in the Word of God that if you took the one-sided part of it, it totally contradicts in a single statement what another truth verifies. But all truth dovetails. All truth will come into fullness with each other when you hear both sides. So we're going to say in some things that are going to seem very paradoxical in statements, but nevertheless, in the weight of it. That's why the Word of God says to take the whole of Scripture. Take it. Okay, I might have to pull myself in here. Rabbit trail. You can get one vein and start looking up scriptures on that. But if you're not reading things in context, you can get off. You can really get off. Okay, that's why you have to take everything in context. Okay. Let me give you, concerning 2018, some Dave-isms. Dave-ism. What's a Dave-ism? You remember some old Dave sayings, okay? And because I thought of them, the Holy Spirit brought some to my memory as I was thinking about, or as the Lord was giving me this message. And these are not verbatim, but just by memory. That's what they are. Dave-ism is this: you will be the same person at the end of this next year that you are today unless you employ the spiritual things that bring about change. Okay? We love that. What does that simply mean? If you've never heard that, he means this, or he meant this, and the Holy Spirit meant, look, if you want change, if there's things about you that you want to change, if there's things about you that other people say need to change, and they really do, if there's the things that the Holy Spirit is asking you to change, you'll never change. He used to say, the scariest thing in the world is this. Scary, worse than any Halloween show, movie, is you'll just be the same person next year, right here. 2019, tonight we're going to have a watch night service. 2020, the only thing that is a variable that puts an additive in there that ever changes you is what you do spiritually. Hallelujah. And as you well know, whatever, there's nothing, absolutely, there'll be no change. And I'm not pounding you with this. I'm sitting there with you. No change ever takes place by just an agreement. No change. And I appreciate everyone that's saying amen. I really do. It helps me. And you shake your head, and if I was you, I'd be saying amen and shaking my head too. No agreement ever brings forth change. The going and the doing, that's the only thing that brings forth change. The actual concrete application to what was heard. Amen. Here's nothing, and I'll tell you this, we're going to talk about some things about starting some things, and I'm going to give you some things from Scripture in regards to how that is Scripture, but how it's biblical. Nothing ever changes in our lives or about ourselves unless it starts in the Spirit. okay? Because let me tell you what I'm going to tell you, okay? Let me just go ahead and get that out. Nothing ever changes unless it starts in the spirit. There's another Davidism. An action in the natural does not necessarily precipitate or necessitate a reaction in the spirit. But an action in the spirit always, and I'd like to underscore that, it always brings into effect a reaction in the natural. Hallelujah. Now, just breaking that down real quickly, an action in the natural doesn't necessarily just bring into effect and mean that something's going to take place in the spirit realm. How could I exemplify that? Well, I'm just going to stop. Bless God. I'm tired of taking medicine. I'm going to stop, and I'm just going to prove God. I'm going to stop taking all my medicine. I'm just going to prove God. That's a natural action. Okay. What's going to happen? Well, I don't know. You may die. It's very possible. It's according to how long you can stick it out before you start taking your medicine again. Or you can hear from God and do it in accordance with the mind of the Holy Spirit. And you couldn't, because what we're teaching, you can be healed instantly and know that, and your body's gonna prove that. But an action in the natural does not, God's not impressed. In other words, God doesn't say, wow, they're proving me, so I got to follow along, and the misconstrue of his word is they're putting me, make a demand on me. Misconstrued words have killed many people, okay? Misinterpreted words. But an action in the spirit, in other words, if it's birthed by the Holy Ghost and the word of God, and you birth it inside and it comes about by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, that will always, in the end, wisdom is justified of its children. It will eventually prove itself out to be, aha, I didn't die. I'm alive. I'm healed. Ralph's got some incredible reports. We're going to let him share those at some point in the near future. But some things that the Holy Spirit God has healed him of, and he's seen that as a verification by the doctors. Hallelujah. So let's talk about, for just a moment, New Year's resolutions. How many have ever heard that phrase? Okay. What is a New Year's resolution? Well, I'm going to tell you just by definition, and I didn't come up with this definition. You can just look this up. A New Year's resolution is a tradition most commonly in the Western Hemisphere, but also found in the Eastern Hemisphere, in which a person resolves to change an undesired trait or behavior, or to accomplish a personal goal, or otherwise improve their life. Okay, and I even looked this up. I went, even before I got that definition, I went a little deeper in study on it. It backs up to, or it dates back to 4,000 years. The Babylonians were actually the first ones that ever started, in a secular sense, New Year's resolution. So it's been, that mindset has kind of really always been around. This is a statement that the Lord gave me. Most New Year's resolutions never are successful. Why? Because the resolve comes from the soul, which is subjectively fickle, emotional, and lacks endurance. Most of them never work, okay? The first place to look let me say this. Is there anything from, and this is a question that I'm asking in front of you, a rhetorical question so that we can learn, is there anything from the Christ-centered spiritual aspect that is comparable to New Year's resolutions? And so the first place to look is in the subject of time, as far as time, because New Year's resolutions are usually made in regards to a new year. Okay, so, but then we're asking ourselves a question, which I just introduced as corporately, hoping you join in with me. Is there anything spiritual that can be done as in regards to New Year's kind of looking forward? Or is there anything that God will get involved in? I'm just going to read these. Now, if you're quick enough to get to some of these scriptures, That's fine. You can follow along, but I'm not going to wait for you to turn there. I'm just going to encourage you to, as I said, take notes. This would also be another message that I would really encourage you to listen to the second time, because of all of the different things that we're going to look at this morning and list here this morning, there's going to be some of them that the Holy Spirit's going to nail us all with. So I think it'd be just really good for all of us to listen the second time. In regards to the subject of time, Genesis 1 says this: "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So it's easy. I'm just like, this is easy peasy. This is easy stuff. But how many of you see that God is the creator of time? Okay? He created the first day. So it's easy for us to understand that prior to his creation of time, there was no time. For God just always has been. He lives in that sphere of just timelessness. There were no clocks in heaven. There were no calendars in heaven. There were no days in heaven. There was no solar system, no lunar, you know, whatever, that could be measured in the proximities of time. But God created the first day. More in Genesis. And God, this is 1:14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be signs for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for the lights in the firmament, for the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God saw them in the midst of the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Hallelujah. "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Now, here's where we understand that how does time work? It basically works off of this. It works off of the solar system. It works off of the sun and the moon and the stars and the 24 hours and the rotations of the earth around the sun and all those kinds of things. Prior to God creating that, there was no time. The interesting part here is what we just read is this. Even prior to God creating the sun, there was light. That's how we think. We think there has to be light outside because there's, you know, the sun. God said, let there be light. And then a few days later, he creates the sun. Do you know when the seven no mores of Revelation, there is no more sun? There's no more sun. And there's no more night. God is the light thereof. Hallelujah. So we're never going to have no more nights. Hallelujah. Well, what about when we go to sleep? You won't have to sleep. Glorified bodies. Hallelujah. Just have a good time all the time. The solar system, you say, why are you talking about the solar? Well, because it is the expression of time. And so what we're thinking about, we're asking ourselves, I'm asking you to ask yourself, myself, is we hear of New Year's resolutions, and we think of that as very secular, and we've entered into it ourselves, and maybe we've been talking about things here, what we need to be doing for the next year. But is there anything in perspective to God things in relevance to that? Well, just in the aspect of this, God did create the calendar. Not the one that's manufactured that sits on your desk, but the word says here that he created signs for, in other words, he created the solar system for seasons, for days, and for years. God's the creator of time, and he did it in increments. He did it so that there would be a January, a February, a March. There's always, since he created that, there's always been that kind of system that's been working in the earth. We can conclude that God made the otherwise, at one time, non-existent relevance of time for the purpose of man. He made the night for rest and recuperation, the day for warmth and work, seasons for the purpose of planting and harvesting, years for the for measurement, so we'd know basically where we're at, where we're going. God did create the calendar, as I said. And here's just some scriptures that I'll read through kind of quickly to let us know that God does think, even though he's eternal, he works with man in the relevance of time. And so because he's eternal, but he works with the relevance of man, and he actually can get things done with man concerning the relevance of time. Remember, this whole lesson is redeeming the time, and we're going to give you some verses on that in just a moment. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Every single morning, how many of you feel, I don't want to interrupt your concentration, but you feeling good as far as temperature-wise? Okay, everybody good? Because I'm hot. Whew, Jesus. It's the anointing. Glory to God. Okay. Lamentations 3:20, they are new every morning. Great is thy, what? Faithfulness. In other words, every day that you live, you wake up with an expectation that you can. This is a new day, and God's a whole batch of his mercy is coming my way. Hallelujah. And his blessings. Isn't that wonderful? That's just so wonderful. Matthew 6:10 says this, that Jesus said this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day," "give us this day our daily bread." So Jesus even put our prayers in increments of praying on a daily basis. Paul said this, I'll read that in just a moment. I'll read what Paul wrote, but let me read this in Leviticus first. Leviticus 25 says this, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7th Sabbath of the year shall be unto thee 49 years." This kind of gets real, okay, just 2 more verses. "Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of the atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land." 25:10, last verse. "And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be Jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man his possession, and you shall return every man into his family." Now, we're not going to talk about the year of Jubilee. That's another subject. But this was done in 7 sevens, and then sacrificed and celebrated on the 50th. And without going into it, the whole deal was, it was the Old Testament bankruptcy. It was the Old Testament. If a guy lost everything, then there is eventually a time his family or inheritance, his posterity can get it back, okay? But the only reason why I'm sharing that is not to divert your attention, but to say this, it was in increments of time. God dealt with, and the whole thing here is this, there are startups and start overs with God. Isn't that great? Until we enter into eternity, which is to come, and then the clock ceases again. There is the 1,000 years, and that is a time, we're still in the time frame, and the short season, on and on. But until we go into that, God is dealing with us in increments of time. And he can get things done for himself, and you can get things done as in setting something of more than just goal, but something that is initiated through the Spirit to say, God's mercy is, Christ said we can pray daily. Change does happen with the relevance of understanding God works with time. How many of you understand that and appreciate that? Hallelujah. Okay. And remember, and I don't know if I put it down here, but Paul said, "I die daily." Okay. it is in increments. I'm not worried about dying to the flesh tomorrow, New Year's Day. And I'm not worried about it today, but I am concerned that I walk in relevance to everything that he is for me and in me today. Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. In other words, you're going to have, in plain street talk, you're going to have a lot of battles tomorrow. You're going to have a lot of fights tomorrow. Might as well just be concerned. Won't use the word worry. Be concerned about the fight that you got today. That's it. Just fight today's battle, and God will take care of tomorrow. Amen. So that was the introduction. Hallelujah. Glory. Redeeming the time. Ephesians 5 says this. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 4 reiterates the same thing, and it says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, redeeming the time means to buy it back or to make full use of it wisely. Okay? I know that you know this, but I'll just kind of bring it to your attention so we can all say yes and amen together. How many of you know we just got a limited amount of time to get this thing done? It's very limited, very limited. So there's no onus on saying we're the ones that has to produce it. The Holy Spirit produces it, but it has to be done through an earnest of understanding that every moment is valuable. Your time is valuable. My time is valuable. We've got just a few short days in relevance to get all this done. So every day counts. It really does. So redeem the time, number one. Next point, form positive. Now here's instruction. Here's where some of your PowerPoints are coming into play. Form positive habits. I don't know if most all my life when I heard people talk about habits, it was like, get rid of habits, get rid of habits. There are some very wonderful, powerful habits that need to be formed in our life. Very, very important that you form positive habits. Daniel 6:9, as I said, please don't turn to these unless you're, can, but you can listen to it later. Daniel 6:9 says this, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime, or you could say as by habit. That was his habit. Daniel 6:11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. This is just an example that here's a habit that Daniel had. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I'm not giving you this as a formula. I'm just saying he formed a habit. And when the good times were there, Daniel was doing it. When the bad times were there, Daniel was doing it. And it didn't matter what the king said. It didn't matter what anybody said. It didn't matter that the day had turned dark. It was like, what does anything turning dark in my life have any relevance to the habit that I've formed in Christ? That's the force of hufamine. That's the force of consistency. That's the force of being the same way. That's the power of having a good habit. Form good habits in this year. Hallelujah. And we go back to the pretense or to go back to the teaching. All of this is all predicated on one thing, you going in. You going in. Listen, none of this works. You know this. Let me underscore. None of it works unless the secret to it all is what we said from the beginning, whatever you will do that is applicable to change happens in the spirit. So you're not making a choice. You're never really making a choice of whether I'll get closer to God or whether I'll walk into power. You're just making a choice whether I will pray or whether I'll get in touch with God. Power will just, it'll just flip-flop on you. You don't have to ask, you don't have to ask for power. You don't have to ask for authority. All that's been given to us. We're not seeking God around here for power. That all comes, that's fruit. It's the fruit of our relationship going into Him that causes the blind to see and the lame walk. Hallelujah. Daniel formed great habits. Think out in the PowerPoint. Think outside of the box. Jesus, our prototype, never did or accomplished anything through normality. John 7 said, then came the officers to the chief priest and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. Hallelujah. And the relevance, there's like 50 scriptures that you could come up with and I could come up with on how that Jesus did everything outside of the box. In this year, you can't do things, outside of the box by trying to get smarter with your natural mind. But if you will go to your spiritual mind, here's an old message. Here's a message that you've heard a million times before. Pray in the Holy Ghost. He is smarter than you are. As Gary would say, he's smarter than I am dumb. Okay? And pray. He will illuminate our minds. Okay? Hallelujah. Eliminate time robbers. Everybody still with me? Eliminate time robbers. Whether that is people or things. Okay? And I would ask you concerning people, are they adding or subtracting from your life? Okay? A lot of times people will give excuses like, well, I'm ministering to them. I'm ministering to them. The question is are they changing? Are they changing? Well, they're just a little bit of, my God, come on. Turn them over to the Holy Ghost and get on with it. We got some things to do. Well, if you put a sundial beside of them, you can see that maybe once a year there's a little bit of increment of change. I'm not saying don't love people. I'm not saying be mean to people. I'm saying we have to go forward. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Scripture on it. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupteth good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In other words, your communication, bottom line on that, street talk, who you hang around is with, that's who you become. That's who you become. Don't associate with people that, here's another point. Don't associate with people that feed your excuses of weaknesses. Tell me, well, you might not want to, but tell me who you spend your private time with in conversation, and I'll tell you where your life is going. If I know that person, if I know them, you can just tell me. Now, here's the question I ask myself. I hope that you'll join in. Why would anyone who is a Christian have a non-believer as their best friend? Can you love non-believers? Yes. Can you have some kind of some? Why would anyone who is on the path to revival have anyone who is a non-believer as their best friend? And why would anyone who is a Christian on the path to revival have any other Christian who is not on the same path as their best friend? Let's get it down, and let's get it down. I mean, are we going to have revival, or are we just going to kind of intermingle with all kinds of... I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about getting single-minded. Hallelujah. Amos 3:3, here's a scripture on it. Can two walk together except they agree? Well, the answer is no. You can't. And you can't, they can't be your best bud. I share that with, she's my best girlfriend, I share. And she's not in the Word. She's not in the Word, but. Okay, enough said. You will only rise to the level of your companionship. Find an associate. Now here's some just added. Find and associate with people this year that are smarter than yourself. Okay? Love everyone. Treat everyone with equality. The message here is there's no mucky mucks. We don't have cliques in here. I despise cliques. I don't like people thinking, you know, because I've been around that. I was in a denomination where there was I know him, and I know I don't like name dropping, and I don't like mucky mucks, and I don't like cliques, okay? In fact, I just run from them, like whatever. So I like common people doing great things for God. Love everybody and treat everybody with equality. Break out of the mold. Revivalists are Renaissance people. You know what, you study the age of Renaissance, there was a lot going on, and there was a lot of change. I just reminded, okay, we did this on Wednesday night. How many know what this is? Who invented it? Okay, we got one smart, really smart guy. Thank you, Carl Ellie. I said, how many times did it take Carl? Carl. How many times did it take Thomas Edison, experimentally wise, before he came up with the formula to create? Not what we have in our hand today, but something similar that is the prototype of this. How many experiments? And it was 1,000. I don't know if they rounded that off, but you can look that up and Google it. It's still the same. 1,000 times he failed before he got to this. There's reverberating messages in that like crazy, because for us as revivalists, we can say this: we ain't gonna quit until we get past 999, 1,000, whatever it takes. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Acts 17:6 says this, and when they found them, they drew, this is a scripture on being Renaissance, breaking out of the mold. Break out of the mold. Revivalists are Renaissance people. We are willing to break the molds because of the new that is coming and is going to challenge us. Listen, I don't know what revival... I do know what revival looks like. That's not a good word. Theoretically, it's not a good word. In vision form, I know what... But when kingdom of God fully comes, it's going to be a real challenge. In good ways, we're going to be stoked. We're going to be high on watching people saved, watching people be healed. But at the same time, it's going to stretch us in a lot of different ways. We might as well get used to being stretched now. Don't be a person like, we just done it this way and I've always been used to, come on, man. Come on, break. Get that Renaissance spirit. Get that, Jesus would have had one of these, one of those. He'd have had everything at his disposal because he'd have reached people. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Acts 17:6 says, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are coming hither also. Those that have turned the world upside down are coming hither also, or have come here also. We're supposed to be, what was said of them is like, the Christians are out there causing a riot because of the works that are going on. And these guys have the reputation, they're turning the world upside down. That is going to be said of us. Hallelujah. Challenge yourself. This goes along with this, with what I just said. Challenge yourself to learn something new every day. Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Are we not through him building a house? Not Bronc Flint Ministries, not Family Prayer Center. We're the kingdom of God come. Hallelujah. And to do that, we have to receive knowledge, wisdom. Proverbs 18:1 says this, through desire a man having separated himself seeketh and intermingleth with all wisdom. In other words, if you have a desire, if something gets so strong in your heart for something, you separate yourself and intermingle with all wisdom to get. In other words, where's so-and-so? He didn't make the barbecue. Why? Because he is studying, or she is studying. They're after it. They want that thing. Hallelujah. I'm glad Alex is here today. He's a new father. Natalie's at home taking care of. He said, it's getting real now, man. That baby's, it's getting real. I've noticed these guys, they're all still part of us, but when they find that real thing in their life, when Alex found that real thing, when he found Natalie, we didn't see him quite as much. I mean, he's still faithful to church, but he wasn't hanging out with the boys, you know. Carl's starting to get that sickness on him. I mean that health thing. He's starting to intermingle with all knowledge of how to receive that good thing that the Lord has given him. Hallelujah. And so revival is this. We're after it. And so, my God, I mean, we're not zombies. Homer and I are talking about football, all these guys. I'll talk to hunting, fishing, whatever. We've got other things that we're doing. But my God, at the end of the day, the conversation always ends with the kingdom of God come, the will of God be done. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. And if you've got other ambitions and you want to figure out something else, man, get rich. But give it all to the kingdom, or give a big bunch of it to the kingdom. But at the end of the day, the conversation is still the same thing. If you want to hang around me, that's where I'm at. And I'm not going to hang around you if you're in another place and your ambitions are anything else. I mean, I'll love you, but we're not going to get close. I can tell you that. Old things are not sacred because they're old. They're only sacred if they're based on the Word of God. So get ready for change. Be pliable. Allow yourself to be stretched. Let the elasticity of the Holy Spirit begin to temper your spirit to say, okay, I never thought of it that way. I never did it that way. What are you asking me to do this year in fasting? What are you asking me to do this year in prayer? What are you asking me? You know, before it might have been, that's the preacher's job. No, Mark 16 says, you'll lay hands on the sick. Okay, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The miracles are going to be done among you.